Hey, man, I just enjoy wrestling.
That match, you were obviously able to get to your offense even more as the match went along. What were you kind of seeing and feeling as the match progressed?
I was just enjoying wrestling, and I just know that I enjoy wrestling.
Nelson, the next question from J.R. Ogden.
Hey, Nelson, congratulations on the win. You look like you were a lot better in some of your offense and things like that. Do you feel like you're a much improved wrestler this year?
Yeah, I'm enjoying wrestling, and I'm looking forward to keep on enjoying wrestling this year.
I don't know if you guys heard, but Nelson Brands really enjoys his wrestling, and he plans to keep enjoying wrestling. And if Friday night was any indication, he will be giving Iowa fans plenty of high-level wrestling to enjoy this season. Hey, what's up? Hello, everybody. Welcome to In the Room, a wrestling podcast from the Des Moines Register. I'm Cody Goodwin, the Register's wrestling writer, and I'm glad you're here. We are back again with another weekend freestyle, a recap of the weekend that was in Iowa wrestling. The Hawkeyes thumped Nebraska in their season opener last Friday night at Carver Hawkeye Arena. We saw another exciting weekend in Iowa high school wrestling, and then the weekend ended with both the Cyclones and the Panthers losing to Missouri on Sunday at Hilton Coliseum. Pretty decisive losses at that. But we are going to start today with the top-ranked Hawkeyes, where Nelson Brands and Jay Nierman took center stage in Iowa's 31-6 win over the 6th-ranked Huskers. Nierman, of course, made his Iowa debut in front of just 246 fans at Carver. Yeah, less than 250 people were in the building, but he did give them a show, an 8-4 win over a very game Chad Red at 141 pounds. Red, a two-time All-American for Nebraska, he actually scored the first takedown, dropping to a double leg in the first period. Ironman tied it with a couple of escapes, and then he did what he does in the second period. Red was able to get his hands on Ironman's legs again, but Ironman quickly wiggled into a cradle position to score two for the takedown, and then two more for the back points. So that made it 6 unanswered for Ironman. Went from 2-0 Red to 6-2 in favor of the new Hawkeye. Later scored another takedown in the third period, an exclamation point on his 90th career victory. Later in the duel, it was Nelson Brands who took the mat at 184 pounds. Iowa coach Tom Brands said he and Abe Assad are likely going to go back and forth at 184 to begin the season. But it was Nelson who got the first nod, and he may not be giving the spot back, guys. He obliterated Taylor Venz 13-5, scored 5 takedowns plus a reversal to secure some bonus points over a previous All-American. Guys, Nelson looked thicker, he looked stronger, he dictated the pace from start to finish, and that freaking gas tank, man, he did not miss a beat. All of that on display. Pretty wicked combination on Friday night. Could be the right mix of skill and talent to make him a pretty formidable contender, at a weight that can probably be had this season. I know it's one match, guys, but he's going to be problems. He's going to be big problems. Those are kind of the two highlight matches, I guess, or at least the two highlight results. We'll obviously touch on the rest of them here in a second, but we did get to talk to both Jay Nierman and Nelson afterwards. You heard Nelson's words here at the top of the podcast. We're going to run those back again and then also give you Jay Nierman's post-match interview as well. So here you guys go. Let's go to them now.
Hey, congratulations on your first win. It had to be kind of weird. No fans cheering you on like is normal in Carver Hawkeye, but you got your first win. What did that feel like?
It was just amazing, you know, to finally get out there and just do what I came here to do, you know, and that was to help us win and dominate. I think I could have been more dominant in my match. There were some little here and there things that I could have capitalized on better, but it's, you know, first match of the season, and it's just going to get better from here.
Jaden, the next question from Cody Goodwin.
Hey, Jaden, you've gotten to that cradle so many times when guys are in on shots. What do you look for when you try to set that up and you're in that position?
It's just like a feel thing, you know. If I feel it, I'll go for it. But, you know, me and Terry and Tom have been working on just getting our legs back. But, you know, it, like he says, the fundamentals will help me boost those positions. And when I locked it up, I should have not rushed it so much. I got a little too excited, I feel like. But, you know, I should have ended the match there. And I thought, I have another opportunity to come to 10th or national. I'm not going to make that same mistake.
I know that you wanted to get the pin there, but could you feel the match flip after that? I mean, you were able to get 2-2 there, and yeah, I mean, the dynamic changed a little bit, right?
Yeah, it was more, I felt it more in the first. I felt him starting to fade, and it was just, you know, staying, you know, don't get, you know, too out of it. Just, you know, stay focused and keep going and doing what you do. You know, we've been doing this all year long, and nothing changes. You know, I'm just going to keep building my positions and get to where I'm good, and just say it's going to open up and dominate.
Jaden, the next question from Isaac Goffin.
Yeah, I'm at the beginning. Chad, but I'm gotten you. What were the challenges I'm facing tonight?
I've never wrestled him, you know. Yeah, he's a tough opponent, 3-time All-American, you know, so he's tough. But I just felt I was, you know, the better wrestler in all these positions, and I just had to focus on what I was doing and just get to where I'm good at and capitalize, you know. There was times where he was in my leg and I should have capitalized. I shouldn't have gave up that takedown in the first. It was just coming out a little too flat-footed. But as the match progressed, I started getting in my groove, and it was just shut down from there.
Mike Finn, do you have a question for Jaden?
Yeah. No, I guess this is Jaden. Basically, just, again, the fact that your first time in Carver, and it was such an odd setting. How different is this for you guys to, I mean, compared to no fans? Now, do you hear more coaches than anything?
Yeah. I always, you know, even if there's a big crowd, I always know how to block it out and just hear my coaches when I'm in these matches. And, you know, there's nothing different, you know. I'm so blessed to be able to be here at Iowa and being able to compete in Carver Hawkeye Arena, you know, putting on that singlet for them. It's just really an honor and a truly blessing. You know, I'm blessed by God to be here and to be healthy and be able to compete, you know, with this virus going around. I'm just happy to be out there and going out there competing. It's just all I can be is grateful and take every opportunity I can get.
Hey, Nelson, congrats on the match tonight. I was really more curious, what'd you weigh in at? You look a little bit bigger than you were last year. Are you?
Hey, man, I just enjoy wrestling.
That match, you were obviously able to get to your offense even more as the match went along. What were you kind of seeing and feeling as the match progressed?
I was just enjoying wrestling, and I just know that I enjoy wrestling.
Nelson, the next question from J.R. Ogden.
Hey, Nelson, congratulations on the win. You looked like you were a lot better in some of your offense and things like that. Do you feel like you're a much improved wrestler this year?
Yeah, I'm enjoying wrestling, and I'm looking forward to keep on enjoying wrestling this year.
The rest of the duel, as the score suggests, all Hawkeyes, guys. Before Ironman even took the mat, Spencer Lee and Austin DeSanto opened with a pin and a technical fall. They spent a combined less than 7 minutes on the mat between the two of them. Spencer ran a bar and pinned Liam Cronin in a minute 21 seconds at 125 pounds. And then DeSanto rolled up 8 takedowns for a 21-5 technical fall over Alex Thompson, an Underwood grad at 133 pounds. He had that one done near the end of the second period. So some lightweight fireworks like you guys are probably used to. Up at 149 now, Max Murin made his debut at his new weight. He looked pretty solid, guys. He beat Brock Hardy 7-2, had a couple of takedowns, controlled ties, really dictated the pace pretty well, I thought. He looked a little bit stronger in his arms, maybe not a full 149 this year, but he definitely looked pretty comfortable out there. And Brock Hardy had a pretty good opening weekend last weekend, too, so that's a pretty solid win for Max Murin. Caleb Young returned to his All-American form in his first match of the season. 4 takedowns, couple of reversals and some back points and a 17-5 major decision over Caleb Liking. He looked active. He looked spry. He just looked more comfortable out there. He looked a lot more like he did at the end of 2019 than he did at the end of 2020, if that makes sense to you guys. At 165 out of the break, Alex Marinelli took the mat without a knee brace for the first time that I can remember. And just like I said about Ironman, just like we've said about Spencer, the Bull did what the Bull does, guys. He won 9-3 over a pretty tough Peyton Robb. Marinelli had a takedown in each period, added points for stalling and riding time. He was in command. He looked dominant. And then at 285, Tony Cassiope closed the duel. 4-0 win over Christian Lance. Tony scored on a snatch single in the first. It was actually pretty crafty on the rewatch. He stepped on Lance's toe so that he couldn't move his leg back, and then he was able to snatch the leg up, was able to finish, added a point for riding time, had an escape. He had to scramble out of a hairy situation late in the third period, but otherwise he was in control the whole way, was able to pitch the shutout in his season opener. The Hawkeyes did lose twice at 174 and 197. It 74, it was true freshman Patrick Kennedy. He made his Iowa debut in lieu of Michael Kemener, who is dealing with a small injury, so no fear there. Tom Brand said that he'll be back next week. But PK, guys, he looked pretty good for a true freshman. He wrestled Mike Labriola, who's an All-American for the Huskers. Labs took that one 7-4, had a takedown in all three periods. But, you know, and I said this on Friday night, the last two takedowns Labriola scored were out of scrambles on shots that Kennedy took. You know, he shot in both times. He got caught underneath, tried to work his way through it to come out the back for takedowns. But Labriola, he's a little funky, right? Pennsylvania native, grabbed his ankle, twisted into some funky scrambles, and ultimately was able to pick PK's leg up for two both times. Otherwise, guys, I thought PK was really, really good. He got out from bottom without much fuss. And if you ask any coach at any level, getting out from bottom is the toughest thing that high schoolers have to deal with when it comes to transitioning from high school to college. PK did not have any issues doing that whatsoever. He was able to kind of get his hands in and work some different ties and stuff, and Labs was feeling him in there in the third period. You know, without a little bit of, you know, experience and savvy, you know, maybe PK's able to finish some of that stuff. And that was really kind of the ultimate takeaway. You fine-tune some of those finishes on those shots that PK was able to get into, watch out. Labriola, like I said, All-American, real talented. You know, I'm pretty sure he was a top eight seed at last year's NCAA championships. You know, Kemmerer really had to work to beat him last year. He's a really good wrestler is what I'm saying, and really just a heck of a debut there from the true freshman Patrick Kennedy. Then at 197, Eric Schultz beat Jacob Warner 3-2. Battle of two title contenders, top three guys at the weight. Schultz number two, Warner number three. I don't want to boil this down to simply just because over the course of a wrestling match, a high-level wrestling match, there's so many different moves and steps and everything that goes into these things, right? But this was definitely a chess match. And the deciding move came late in the third period. Warner was able to get in on a shot. Schultz scrambled. He popped his hips out, his head up. Warner was able to grab the leg, but Schultz tried to cover, and he was ultimately able to break the lock, score the takedown for the win in the final 30 seconds. I kind of figured it would probably come down to a situation like that when Warner wasn't able to score in the first period. When he wins big matches like this, guys, I know you've probably seen it before, he's able to score early, and sometimes he's able to score even more than that. It's usually a first period takedown when he's able to lock that up in a match like this. I really like Jacob Warner's odds. He wasn't able to get it this time. I didn't hate his shot, just maybe give Schultz a little bit of credit for his scrambling ability, right? You know, that's just kind of how it goes sometimes. I imagine Warner's probably going to both want another shot at Schultz, and he's probably going to get another shot at Schultz, probably not until the Big Ten Championships in March, but that's a match he can win. It's a match he's won before, and I think once he does, watch out. He was pretty peeved afterwards walking off the mat because he knew that one sequence was really kind of what decided the match, and, you know, we've seen how emotional he can be once he wins big matches like that. So, you know, I didn't think it was a bad debut, just one of those things you take back into the practice room the next week. All in all, you know, this was every bit the team that we thought we were going to see on opening night, guys. It was a really nice first step in what's basically going to be a redemption season for the Hawkeyes after last year's NCAA championships were canceled because of the pandemic. Against Nebraska, they ultimately won 8 of 10. 4 bonus point wins, you know, a 26-5 takedown advantage, an 89-34 total match point advantage. Real good performance overall. We caught up with head coach Tom Brands afterwards. He had a lot to say, covered a lot of topics about PK, the duel, Nelson, Kemmerer, and he kind of touched on everybody. So let's go to him now.
Hey, coach, what'd you ultimately learn from you guys tonight?
I know they responded well to a long, long layoff, but really, what's a layoff? There's no layoff. These guys are all serious about the sport, so that question's been answered. I think we can get better, and there were some good performances, but we're going to see them again. We're going to see that team again more than once, and we keep getting better. We got Minnesota next week. Got to keep getting better. We got a big match at heavyweight up there at Minnesota. Big match at 57. Those two come to mind.
Tom, the next question from J.R. Ogden.
Hey, Tom, it was a very dominating performance. Did you feel like you got the domination that you wanted to see in at least in 8 of those matches?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about domination. Domination is bonus points. You know, you see how guys wrestled, you know, to get bonus points. There was a lot of different ways they got them. Spencer Lee and, you know, Nelson Brands, those are two completely different ways to get bonus points. You know, we were sharp, really sharp in some ways, and
other weights, we're, you know, a little bit, you know, letting guys jump in on our legs and stuff. And we gotta be ready. I think maybe, you know, you answered a lot of questions, you know, as a coach, you're looking at your team and you feel good about that performance, but what's next? That's the first performance, what's next? And that's where we got to keep going in our heads. And it's not tough to do. Our job is easier because these guys have the right mindset. It was a spirited duel. You know, if there's a full crowd in there, that's going to be a fun, really fun duel. And it got chippy right away. I mean, right away, okay, here we go again. Well, we're not going to stand for that. So we're gonna stand up and we're going to bark. And it was fun. It was fun. The competitive juices are really flowing.
The next question from Mike Finn.
Yeah. Yeah, Tom, you were just talking about there was a little chippy with you and the coaches. One thing, the way the setting is, we hear the coaches probably more than anything. Is that, what do you think about that? The fact that, how much does it change the sport that so much focus on you guys?
No, I don't look at it that way. I look at it like when fans get a unique perspective to what's in the arena, and depends on how the mat's wired for sound, the Big Ten network, and whatever. I mean, here's the thing. We're not going to get overrun because somebody's going to out-talk us to a referee. We're not going to. And we're going to retaliate in a good, healthy way. And we're going to stick up for our guys. And I lost my voice. You don't know it yet, but you can kind of hear it. But I'm not going to have a voice tomorrow. It's worth it. It's worth it. But all that aside, that's in the past, we got to get better. We got a big match at heavyweight coming up Friday night, week from tonight. But I think it's a unique question that you ask, or a statement that you make, that, yeah, you're going to hear more coaches. And, you know, I never really cared what, you know, people thought I was saying unless my language was out of line. And, you know, I think my language was in line very, very well tonight.
The next question from Cody Goodwin.
Two-parter here for you, Tom. One, what went into the decision to wrestle Kennedy tonight? And two, what'd you think of his effort?
Kennedy convert, finish. Gave himself two opportunities. We know that Labriola, we know that he's a scrambler. We know that he's funny and funky in there or whatever. That doesn't matter. We're good in those shots. I think that his learning curve is going to, you know, you're going to see it. So we got to get better. We got to finish. That guy wanted to ride us. That guy wanted an easier match than I think how it went down. And, you know, we were game, but we got to finish. To be really game, you got to finish. And that's a true freshman out there. So, you know, for me to talk like he's a redshirt freshman and he's in the lineup and it's his spot, you're going to get a little bit different narrative from me on that. His effort was good. You know, as a true freshman, you're not going to give him a moral victory, but doggone it, we showed that we can get in there. And now we got to finish. And, you know, I know Kemmer is sitting in there on that bench, and he's watching and he's chomping at the bit. And we had many, many discussions about him wanting to go. And if it would have been his call, he would have went. It was my call and the medical team's call, and that's just wise. Just a little bit of wisdom there overrode his enthusiasm. So he'll be in the lineup Friday night in Minnesota.
Tom, another question from Mike Finn.
Regarding you as in Kennedy, the fact that he's a true freshman, because of this so-called gap year where this season doesn't count against these guys' records, does that give you more freedom to have a guy like that wrestle to get that experience as a true freshman?
Yeah, I mean, our next best guy is eligible. I mean, if it was a normal year, and that's Miles Wilson, who moved up, wrestled the 84-pound extra match. Yeah, absolutely. You wrestle your best team. And, you know, Kennedy won a match in November 1st, and he won a match against Wilson in a match last week that we had. That was kind of on the down low, but...
But is he getting a chance to wrestle this because it's a year that does not count against his eligibility? Would you have wrestled him?
Year for everybody. I mean, he could be a five-time national champion if he's in the lineup. It's Kemmer's spot. This isn't a quarterback controversy. Mm-hmm. We have to understand that. This is Kemmer's spot.
Tom, the final question from Cody Goodwin.
What'd you like about Jaden's effort tonight in his debut?
Jaden gave up the first takedown really slow. It was a slow takedown, even though that guy's explosive. And we just didn't move our feet. And when he's moving his feet, you see what happens. He would get him extended a couple times. He had that cradle locked up tight. And, you know, I think, you know, against a good guy like that, you know, you kind of get impatient. Caleb Young got a little impatient with a couple cradles. You got to be really, really patient in those positions. But, you know, technique's boring to talk about in these calls, in these interviews. So we'll just say that Jaden Ironman has waited a long time for this. He's in the black and gold of the Hawkeyes, and he's a fan favorite, and no fans have even seen him in the arena yet. So, you know what? This relief year, it's going to be awesome for Jaden Ironman. We get fans back in the stands. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Good stuff there from Tom and his team. Hawkeyes are headed to Minnesota to Russell Gable, Steve Sin, Michael Blockus, and the Gophers. That's this Friday night in Minneapolis. On Sunday, we're going to skip the high schoolers just a minute. We'll come back to them. So just yesterday, Iowa State, Northern Iowa, both wrestled Missouri at Hilton Coliseum in Ames, and it was kind of a tough Sunday. The Tigers came to Ames, and they clobbered both of these teams. They beat the Panthers 34-6, and they beat Iowa State 31-7. Northern Iowa ultimately lost 8 of 10 matches, and all 8 of them came in a row. So you had Brody Teske opened up with a wild 12-10 win over Connor Brown at 125 pounds, which, speaking of, Brody Teske also in one of the extra matches beat Alex Mackle from Iowa State. Think that final was 6-4, so real good day out of him. He's 4-0 now. He looks real solid so far for the Panthers. But then back to the duel, Carter Isley closed the UNI-Mizzou duel with a very nice 3-2 win over Zach Elam at heavyweight. Elam, you know, he's got some credentials. He's one of those kind of bigger athletic heavyweights. He can move a little bit, but maybe struggles with his gas tank a little bit. Isley was able to capitalize, score a takedown in the second period to win that match. Those were the only two wins for the Panthers, though. In between there, the Tigers ripped off 8 wins in a row. They had technical falls from Allen Hart over Drew Bennett at 41, Jarrett Jacques over Cade Lair at 57, and then Keegan O'Toole, a superstar freshman, over Pat Schoenfelter at 65. You know, and then at 184, Jeremiah Kent, you know, another young guy from, I think he's from Columbia originally, he pinned Keegan Moore at 184. You know, then Rocky Elam was able to add a major decision over Tyrell Gordon at 97, and that was, you know, I mean, by then the duel was really out of hand. You know, Mizzou ultimately 26 takedowns to UNI 7, and of the Panthers' total, 4 of them actually came from Brody Teske. So, you know, that's 3 other takedowns across 9 other matches. Not ideal, not ideal. Tigers put up 100 total match points. UNI didn't even hit 50. I had them for 41 total. Head coach Doug Schwab, not very happy afterwards, as you guys can probably imagine. Mizzou then turned right around and thumped the Cyclones in the same way. They won 8 of 10 matches. They had 2 pins. They had another major decision. This one felt a little different, though. The way the Tigers ultimately pulled away and beat Iowa State was very similar to what they did to the Panthers. But when you kind of look at the box score, Iowa State dropped 3 matches by a single point at 125, at 133, and 197, and then they dropped a couple other close matches at 41 and 49. I kind of thought 4 of those matches were very winnable. At 125 pounds, Kyson Tarakina, he's the freshman from Hawaii, he lost to Connor Brown 5-4 after they exchanged reversals in the third period. Brown just so happened to score another reversal to go up 5-3. Tarakina escaped, didn't have enough time to really kind of make a full-hearted effort at a potential game, a match-winning takedown, right? 133, same thing. Zach Redding, another freshman, fell to 8th-ranked Matthew Schmidt 4-3 after Schmidt scored a couple of takedowns in the third period, including one in the final seconds to ride out and win that one. Redding had a takedown in the second period, which I thought would kind of be enough to maybe win a close match. But, you know, Matthew Schmidt, he's an All-American candidate at a really tough weight. You know, that's a hard lesson to learn for true freshman Zach Redding. 141, Ian Parker lost to Allen Hart. This was a little bit surprising. Hart built a 6-1 lead in the first period. He scored 2 takedowns in that second one. He did exactly what Jaden Ironman did to Chad Red. You know, Ian Parker got in on a shot. Hart was able to kind of shimmy his hips in a position to lock up a cradle, and he was able to get 2-2 out of that. That changed the dynamic of the match. After Hart's first takedown, I kind of thought Parker would be able to come back. After that cradle, I wasn't so sure. Parker was able to get a reversal, but he wasn't able to score takedowns on various shots throughout the remainder of the match. Then at 197, Younger Bastida, the freestyle Valor from Cuba. Still trying to figure out this folk style thing, guys. He scored two takedowns in the first period against Rocky Elam, and he looked really good doing it. But then he gave up points for stalling, for riding time in the third to lose that one 5-4. So, you know, that's just trying to figure, you know, something between the ears, obviously, but also just trying to, you know, figure out and understand the pacing that's required in a folk style match compared to a freestyle match. I think that's ultimately what got to him. You know, in this one, I mean, he chose down, it may have been a coaching decision, to start the third period when it was already 4-3. And, you know, Rocky Elam was able to rack up a stall point and riding time, and that was the match right there. So overall, I hear the same details from, you know, what made Mizzou, you and I, so lopsided. You can kind of understand why maybe this one wasn't as lopsided, even though the score was similar. Overall, Mizzou had just 13 takedowns to Iowa State 7. You know, the Cyclones managed a 53-42 advantage in total match points, so it was a lot closer than maybe the final score indicates. You can't erase the back-to-back pins from Keegan O'Toole and Peyton Mocco at 65 and 74, right? But, you know, Iowa State, if they can flip a handful of these matches at 25-33-41-97, I thought all of those were the Cyclones were more than capable of winning. If they were able to flip them all, it's 19-19 and Iowa State wins 6 of 10 matches. You understand what I'm saying? If they wrestled again today, I'm not sure that they flip all of them, but even if they flip a couple of them, you're looking at 25-13. So that's just kind of how close, or how much closer I thought the Cyclones were than maybe the Panthers were. You know, this is a pretty good Missouri team. They're young, they're hungry, they're talented. I'm a big fan of Keegan O'Toole. You guys know that I'm from Missouri, so I've been watching these Tigers for years, and I kind of know what they have up and down the lineup. You know, but hey, you know, it was kind of a weird matchup. Missouri was able to capitalize, and they were also able to win the close matches. That just kind of happens sometimes. Iowa State coach Kevin Dresser said as much after the duel, that he really did kind of like what he saw, and that the mistakes that his guys made were fixable. Remember, the Cyclones haven't wrestled a Division I team yet this year. They beat up on Loras, on Wartburg, and on Nebraska Kearney. So this was a really good barometer to kind of see where they're at. I thought this was good really for both teams after their fast starts to the season. But again, Dresser, really not all that mad, maybe a little frustrated in some aspects or at some weights, but overall I think he liked that they were able to get this test out of the way in January as opposed to late February or March. But again, we caught up with Iowa State coach Kevin Dresser after the duel. Here is what he had to say about his team's performance.
Hey gang, you know, first off, obviously, you're always supposed to congratulate the winning team, and so that wasn't us tonight. So hats off to Coach Smith and making this happen. Obviously, we're disappointed we didn't get to compete with Arizona State, but you know, we learned a lot today, and I think, you know, the sky isn't falling with this team. There was a lot of situations that I feel like if you know, we wrestled that dual meet over to even tomorrow would be a lot different. So I have a lot of confidence in this team. You know, this is a very young team. You know, I just told him, I said, hey, we just had some bad luck today. We really had some bad luck, and we made some, you know, we made a couple mistakes. We made a mistake at 141. We made a mistake at 174, but you know, with the guys that we've got in the lineup, and obviously we got some guys dinged up and injured. So, you know, we're missing some leadership by guys like Jared Dagan and Sam Colbray, but, all in all, you know, there's a lot of good things right now. So, you know, there's probably a lot of people out there that are going to read that score and think, oh my, but, you know, I really don't look at it that way. I look at, you know, if I could, you know, I go up and down each weight class, I got something positive to say about every weight class. And, you know, I just think I'm excited to get back to work, and I'm excited to get on, you know, to go compete again. And, you know, this is really what we needed right now. You know, you always, you know, I don't think it's a wake up call. I think there was a lot of good things, but it's a chance for us to obviously, you know, maybe hold some guys accountable in more situations or challenge them or coach them. And so this is when coaching really starts to make a difference. How's that for a short opening statement?
Hey coach, what'd you see at 125? I mean, Tarakina got in on some good shots, but wasn't quite able to finish a few of those.
No, super funky guy, a good guy. You know, I think I saw that guy wrestle the Central Michigan guy 2 weeks ago, who was ranked third in the nation. And he got beat in overtime, and he shouldn't have got beat. So I knew we were in for a long one. I knew that was going to be a tough match. But, you know, I love the way Kyson Tarakina competes and progresses. You know, we didn't – I mean, right now he's kind of the guy in first place at that weight, but it's still wide open. You know, he's the guy that's won the wrestle-offs in the room, and so he's got the opportunity. But I think you're going to see that guy from Missouri do really well this year. And I think we'll do well as we go forward. So – I can tell he's a competitor. He didn't like to lose tonight. You know, he's a true freshman. Shoot, he's wrestled in Hawaii his whole life. So, you know, we're probably going through a little culture shock here too, but you know, he's got all the tools.
You mentioned, I think you might have answered my question just now, but why didn't Mackle wrestle tonight in this A team?
Well, we've in wrestle offs, you know, Tarakina is two out of two. So right now he's the guy.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Coach, you mentioned just, you know, little small mistakes here and there, and then just kind of looking at the scores and the way they unfolded, you know, 5-4 at 25, 4-3 at 33, 7-4 at 41, 5-4 at 97. What do you take into the practice room next week to try and, you know, coach those guys up specifically?
Well, you know, we lose at 33, you know, all year long we went out and been the aggressor and we got ahead against a good guy and we shut down, and we can't shut down there. So he's got to go get a takedown there when he's leading. And, you know, 97, you can tell there's a heck of a talent there, right? He doesn't understand yet the training pace that you need to do to be really good in a 7-minute match. And it's more of a cultural thing than anything. He's got to figure that out. And so I think that might be a little bit of a wake up call, because it was obvious he got tired there. And, you know, he wrestled a scrappy, good young guy. And I think he's showing that, you know, by the end of the year, he just continues to improve. He could be right there. And then, you know, at 41, we just made a mistake. You know, Ian Parker has to, you know, not force his hand quite so early, because that's not his strong suit. His strong suit is the end of matches. So don't put yourself in precarious situations when you don't need to. And he forced a situation. Same thing at 74, you know. I mean, I really think we wrestle both those matches over tomorrow, we win. That's how much confidence I got in these guys and this team. And I could say that at about 5 or 6 weights. I really could. Maybe that's arrogant. Maybe, you know, they look at the scoreboard and say, you guys just got beat something to something. You know, there's that. I think we turn that around quick. That's how much faith I have in this team.
You also mentioned just seeing really good things. You know, 65 comes to mind. I know that he got caught in that cradle and O'Toole's kind of funky, but I mean, he was able to get the first takedown and he was battling well in positions there. Did you like what you saw?
What I saw out of Stotts and Judge. Judge won a big match over there. So you know, I think we made progress at 65 today too. So, you know, and that's something to build off of.
Going back to 197, what went into the decision to go on bottom there in the third period?
Well, he's going to have to soon, you know, we probably could have, you know, we kind of all looked at each other. And I think Coach Metcalf, Coach St. John, and myself were like, you know, this is a learning year. Everything's a learning year. And this is the only way he's ever going to figure out bottom is when it's hard and you're tired. And that's what we did. And so maybe it bit us in the butt, and maybe that's bad coaching. Maybe we need to take the loss there, but we need to have a little ammunition to kind of jumpstart him a little bit during the week. But I'm really pleased with what we got there. That guy's going to be good. He's going to be really good.
And then Gannon Gremmel, I mean, he gave up that first takedown, but then after that, he seemed like a man on a mission. What'd you see out of him?
Just a great competitor. You know, he's a great competitor. You know, he's got to shoot for some of the big guns this year. And wrestling's important to him. And when he steps in Hilton Coliseum or whatever Coliseum he steps in, he's ready to go. And so my challenge to Gannon is, look at those top 6 guys and really wake up every morning wanting to beat those top 6 guys. And if he does that, he's got a shot.
What did you see from Grant Stotts in his first in his match today?
He competed well, you know, and I think Grant's his own worst enemy, because he just, you know, confidence is a funny thing in anything, especially in wrestling, is, you know, he gets to a certain point and then I think he doesn't, like, I think he got halfway through that match and was like, oh my gosh, I'm tied with this guy that's supposed to be the next great great wrestler at Missouri, and, you know, took a shot and stopped. And you don't do that against a guy that's a pinner.
And then going back to some of those close losses, today you had 3 freshmen who lost by 1 point. How do you get them to kind of turn that into a positive and build off of that?
Just keep coming. They'll keep coming. We'll keep coming.
What was the energy for you guys when you got in the locker room?
Just now?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think yes. They probably thought I was going to they probably thought I – who knows? I know they probably didn't know what I was going to do, if I was going to come in and jump up and down and throw things around. But I just said, hey, it's a good team here. We just – you know, we had some bad luck today, and we lost a few close matches, and we've had some bad luck with injuries. But I'm telling you, this team can be really good in 3-4 weeks. Really good. Speaking, so we just go back to work tomorrow, and that's what we do.
Speaking of really good, David Carr was electric once again today. We'll just go with what you see from him.
Well, I just think David's, he's making those little extra pushes in the room. And so then he goes and gets a major decision against a good guy, a top-ranked guy. I don't know what that guy's ranked, 10th, 12th. I don't know. You tell me. But, the guy's solid. He's been around for a long time. And, to go out and put it on yourself when you're tired to major somebody, that's growth for David. He's separating himself. And that's because of what happens in the practice room and on the track on Tuesday morning when nobody wants to be there. That's where he's making those gains.
Good stuff there from Dresser. The Cyclones now 3-1, the Panthers now 2-1, and they're going to be in the same building again next weekend, this time in Cedar Falls, and this time against Oklahoma. So Iowa State is going to wrestle the visiting Sooners at 1 p.m., then the Panthers will wrestle them at 3 p.m. That one, again, Sunday. I believe that one is at the McLeod Center, so there should be tons of extra matches there too, so that should be a pretty exciting day of wrestling. The high school scene, very exciting, very revealing, with some interesting team and individual results that at least caught my attention. I was out at Bettendorf's Midwest Shootout, but I had an eye on many other tournaments around the state, like the Perry Invitational, the Bob Sharp Invitational. That one was at Ankeny. Cascade and Solon both had tournaments. Osage held a dual tournament. Tons of great action this past week and weekend. So we're just going to hit on a few of the highlights. Again, I was at Bettendorf, where Waukee won the team title at the Midwest Shootout. They scored 256.5 points, and that was more than Waverly Shell Rock's 248. So that was number one ranked Waverly Shell Rock losing to number three Waukee. And I'm pretty sure, guys, we have firmly a three-team dogfight in Class 3A now. The Warriors just had three total champs on the weekend, but they had 10 total finalists and 13 wrestlers finish in the top three at their respective weights. That's where a lot of their points came from. The Gohawks had five champs, and all of them included head-to-head wins over their Waukee opponents, by the way, but only three other finalists and three other third-place finishers. So what does this mean? To me, Waukee's more than game to hang with Waverly Shell Rock and Southeast Polk at the top of Iowa's largest wrestling class. But I think it remains to be seen just how these three will figure things out in a tournament setting when you start to factor in a bunch of other teams like Iowa City West, like Fort Dodge, like Ankeny, like, Indianola, Mason City, schools from Cedar Rapids, schools, Bettendorf, I know, was there this weekend, but, you mix all these teams together and, some performances suffer, some score the same amount of points. What does it ultimately look like at the state tournament, right? Buckle up, right? Because I think this team race just got a heck of a lot more interesting after Waukee's performance on Saturday. Another team performance that really caught my eye and that has been catching my eye really all year was West Delaware. This redemption tour that they're on this season has been quite impressive to follow. The latest chapter came this past week. The Hawks, during the week, they beat Class 1A's top-ranked Don Bosco 36-33 in a duel. And then on Saturday, they blew through the field at the Perry Invitational. They scored 295 points to win, which was 95 points ahead of second place Logan Magnolia, which is another team to watch in Class 1A, by the way. But West Delaware against Don Bosco, they won 8 of 14 matches with 4 pins, and then at Perry, they finished with 5 champs, 3 more finalists, and 4 more third place finishers. So you do the math there, that's 12 guys in the top 3 for a West Delaware team that is just... they fell short at last year's Class 2A state tournament, right? Since then, they've been steamrolling literally everybody this season. They're far and away the number one team in Class 2A. They've got 11 ranked individuals by IA Russell. But even more, I was looking at some of these numbers as I was scanning some of the brackets and the results. All 14 regular starters for West Delaware have winning records, which isn't a terrible surprise. But 12 of the 14 have fewer than 10 total losses so far this season, and 9 of them have 5 losses or fewer, and 3 of them are undefeated. Jared Voss at 170, Wyatt Volker at 195, and Carson Petlon at 285. Again, nobody really knows the importance of executing in February better than West Delaware, so all of this could go for naught still. But this has been one heck of a redemption tour to watch this season. Been really impressed with the Hawks. Clearly they're the team to beat in Class 2A. Now it's a matter of just getting to February and finishing the job. Another team performance that caught my eye this weekend, Lisbon was at Solon's Ed Hattenfeld Invitational, and they were ridiculous this weekend, guys. They scored 288.5 points to beat out second place North Scott to win at Solon, and they finished with 10 individual champs. Brandon Paez at 120, Cade Seabrick at 26, Quincy Happel at 32, Robert Avila Jr. at 45, Lincoln Hollab at 52, and then 70, 82, 95, 220, 285, Max Cole, Jamian Moore, Truman Krob, Cole Clark, and Brant Baltes all won as well. Just a reminder, there's only 14 weights in Iowa high school wrestling. These guys won 10 of them this weekend at one tournament. The four non-Lisbon wrestlers to also win were Prairie's Blake Giomio at 106, North Scott's Trace Kephart at 113, North Scott's Josh Connor at 38, and then Solon's Hayden Taylor, a two-time state champ with 2 years still to go, at 160. I thought Cole Clark had perhaps the best finals win, knocking off West Liberty's Kobe Simon, who's ranked number one in Class 2A by a 5-0 decision. But Brandon Paez also beat center point Urbana's Cole Whitehead, who's a returning 2A state finalist. That was by a 5-1 decision. That leads me into my five big individual results from the weekend, where I already mentioned, you know, Cole Clark over Kobe Simon. They're both number one. Cole Clark's just in 1A, Kobe Simon's just in 2A. Clark had a pair of takedowns in the second and third period to win that one, but that was also his third win over Simon this season. So pretty impressive stuff there from Cole Clark. It's really hard for elite level guys to beat other elite level guys multiple times in the same season. So the fact that he's 3-0 and they may cross paths again this season says a lot about Cole Clark and Lisbon and his overall growth. At Bettendorf, one of the matches that really stuck out to me was at 220. Bettendorf's Bradley Hill, he bumped up from 195 and ultimately beat Waverly Shell Rock's Lucas Walker 6-3 in the finals at 220. Hill entered the weekend ranked fourth at 195 in Class 3A. He decided this weekend to test the waters at 220, and he made the most of it, guys. Against Walker in the finals, he actually led 5-0 at one point after scoring takedowns in the third period, I believe it was. Walker was able to come back with a takedown of his own, but just did not have enough time. Hill did a really good job navigating Walker's heavy hands and his scrambling ability. Walker, ranked number one in 3A at 220 coming into the weekend. He's considered a top 25 guy nationally by Mat Scouts. Freestyle All-American, probably going to go wrestling college somewhere. Bradley Hill, though, got the better of him today, and he looked convincing doing it. Safe to say that Bradley Hill will probably be staying at 220 for the rest of the year. Also at Bettendorf, another big result that caught my eye was 182 pounds. Waverly Shell Rock's McCray Haggerty, he beat Waukee's Griffin Gamble 4-3. That was a battle of one versus two. Griffin Gamble was number one. McCray Haggerty was number two going in. They're probably going to switch when new rankings get released this week. Scoreless first period, but then Haggerty went escape takedown to lead 3-0 in the second. Gamble did the exact same sequence in the third to tie it 3-3. Then Gamble let Haggerty up to try and score the match-winning takedown. Looked like he had found another gear and was really kind of working ties and positioning. But Haggerty did just enough to stifle the final few shots that Gamble threw at him. Another excellent match at Bettendorf's Midwest Shootout. Final two matches that really caught my eye this weekend, or two results, I suppose, were at Ankeny's Bob Sharp Invitational. 132 pounds, Lynn Mars' Bryce Park had himself a day, guys. Defeated a pair of state finalists on his way to first place at 132 pounds. In the semifinals, he beat Mason City's Jace Rhodes 6-4. He was down 2-0 after Rhodes scored a takedown in the first, but then Park came back with a takedown in the second period and then a turn in the third period to able to win that one. And then in the finals, he pinned Indianola's Ryder Downey while he was already up 2-1. That pin came in the second period. Park sending a message to the rest of Class 3A's 132-pounders after that performance this weekend. Finally, again, also at Ankeny, Des Moines Lincoln's Mickey Griffith, he beat Johnston's Caleb Helgeson 9-2 in the finals at 170 pounds. Griffith, returning state champ, he's ranked number one at the weight. Helgeson ranked number two. These rankings are from IA Russell. And the distance between number one and number two on this day was 7 points, guys. After a scoreless first period, Mickey went escape, takedown, and turn in the second period for a 5-1 lead. And then he went takedown to another turn in the third to ice it, 9-2. Which, by the way, fun fact, that was the same score as his finals match last year when he beat Ryan Plummer to become Des Moines Lincoln's first state champ in about 14 seasons. A couple of final thoughts here on the high school stuff. Another finals match that really caught my eye at Bettendorf was at 106 pounds between Carter Freeman of Waukee and Bettendorf's Ella Schmidt. And I thought that was neat. Carter Freeman ultimately won the match by a 17-2 technical fall in the third period. That wasn't super surprising, but I really thought this matchup was kind of neat because, that looked like it was going to be a battle of state champs, right? Carter Freeman in Class 3A and then Ella Schmidt at the IWCOA Girls State Championships, which are coming up this week at Extreme Arena in Coralville. So thought that was kind of neat. And then the other thing that really caught my eye this weekend Centerville's Matthew Lewis was back in action this weekend after he took nearly a month off from competition. He last competed at the Lee Summit Holiday Tournament down in Missouri before Christmas. That was on December 18th. He returned to action this week finally, and he did so at a new weight. Lewis wrestled the first 15 matches of the season at 132 pounds, but now he's up at 145, and he looked quite good too, winning all six matches this week. He had two in the duel and then four on Saturday at Centerville's own tournament, all of them by pin. So clearly the jump in weight's doing pretty well for him. He's now 18-3 this season. He's probably going to need to be at his best in order to become Iowa's 29th four-time state champ. So, you know, he's won three titles in 2A already, and he's coming in trying to become the next four-timer in Iowa State history, right? Now that he's up at 145, here's kind of who I think is going to be in his way or who's going to be gunning for him once we get to February. Osage's Nick Fox, super talented wrestler. Sergeant Bluff Luton's Isaac Bryan, another tough wrestler. Comanche's Eric Kincaid, I watched him win at Bettendorf this past weekend, real tough customer. Clarion Goldfield Downs' Reed Abbas, you know, that's a guy that's getting ready to go wrestle at Grandview, so you know he's a handful. There's going to be a couple more wrestlers there that are probably going to be in the mix. We're going to see just how much better Matthew Lewis is going to get over the next month, because that's not an easy path to navigate. But this past weekend, I thought, was a pretty good start. The rest is up to him. Hope you guys like the five big results thing on the high school segment. I think that might be something I might keep here every week. I could ramble on and on about these things each week, but I figured if I limit it to just five, I can get you guys what you need to know without overloading you on things that you might not be interested in. Always appreciate any feedback that you guys might have. Got one more final thought here before we go. Guys, we're just 30 days from the state wrestling tournament. That's pretty crazy. The high school wrestling season is always short, at least compared to like the college season. You know, the first practices are always in mid-November. First competitions are always in early December. Postseason's always in February. So really, you're looking at like a two-month regular season, which is about 8 to 9 weeks long, and that's in a year without a pandemic, right? So not everybody has been able to compete each weekend over the last month and a half or so, and that kind of stinks. But, you know, that just kind of reinforces the idea that the season is going to move fast, and it has been moving fast, and it's felt like it's moved even quicker this year. You know, we're almost to the end. We still really don't know what the end's going to look like. We might have a better idea by the end of this week, but that ending is going to be here before we know it. So that's all I've got for today, you guys. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to catch In the Room on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your shows. And don't forget to rate and review wherever you get your shows. 5 stars and some kind words, pretty please. Follow me on Twitter at Cody Goodwin, on Instagram at Cody J. Goodwin. Always love communicating with you guys. And be sure to also subscribe to the Des Moines Register to catch all the stories, mailbags, analysis, and videos that I put out every wrestling season. You can find links to do all of that in the show notes. That's it for this episode. Thanks again for listening, you guys. We will talk again soon.
I was just enjoying wrestling, and I just know that I enjoy wrestling.